This is Robotic Disclosure, the podcast that reveals everything you want to know about robotic surgery, robotic technology, and how to run a best practice program for your hospital, your surgeons, and your patients. I'm your host, Josh Feldstein. Support for Robotic Disclosure comes from Kava Robotics International, the leader in robotic program consulting, serving hospitals in the U.S. and around the world. Visit kava-robotics.com. This podcast series takes our listeners on a journey into the operating room, the hospital C-suite, the industry boardroom, the surgeon lounge, and more. Our guests are going to tell you about robotic surgery, about current and emerging robotic technologies, and how to run a world-class program for your patients, your surgeons, your hospital, and your community. I'm your host, Josh Feldstein. Our next guest is Chris Elfner, Vice President of Accountable Care Strategies at Belen Health in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Chris is a man who knows how to turn large amounts of data into very powerful information that creates knowledge that drives big strategic decision-making and cost-effectiveness. Hey, that is a mouthful, but when it comes to big data, Chris really is the guy. Listen to what he has to say. Chris, so great to have you today.
Thanks for having me.
When we think about achieving a really clean, actionable data set, most institutions see this as a massive stumbling block. When you think about data, you see opportunities. How would you suggest approaching the whole notion of developing a big data approach in healthcare systems today as it applies to robotic surgery programs and I would say the entire surgical program or the hospital even as a whole?
Sure. Well, the issue is not unique to any of the things you just mentioned. And I think it's important to start by saying analytics is an output of data entry. And so if you're putting crummy data in, you're going to get crummy analytics out. So you really need to focus all the way back at the point where data goes in. And in healthcare, you've got humans serving humans. And in many cases, you have even more humans documenting that process and then different humans billing out for that processes. And there's a lot of opportunity for error. There isn't a silver bullet that says tomorrow you will have great data that you can start analyzing. But I would recommend every organization should start exposing their data as it sits in the systems today. Understanding what you really want to measure and what actions you want to take with those measures and start showing what those metrics look like. And people will say, well, that data's wrong. And the answer is, well, it's accurately representing what you've documented. And that starts the process and starts moving the needle to having quality data input on the things that are important to your organization. It doesn't need to be perfect in every case, and you can't make it perfect in every case, but on the things that are important to your organization, you need to do that. And another thing that will happen there is you'll start finding gaps where you aren't even documenting things. An example would be if you're trying to figure out turnaround time, do you actually know when the turnaround crew entered the room and left the room, or are you just saying wheels out to wheels in or something of that sort?
It's been a long journey for you to get to this level of simplicity, but I'm imagining that in the beginning it was anything but simple in terms of the way you approached this. Can you speak to that process a little bit for administrators who are looking at this as a very overwhelming process?
Yes. So it all started when we implemented Epic and we had a whole new system that data was coming through, and we had a Meditech as our previous EMR, and we had that data coming through as well, and we had to map it and make that data come together. And it was very painful to really understand what was going on and where it was happening and how it was happening, and understanding whether the information going in was actually being captured as intended or if people were using fields in different ways. So slowly understanding what is most important. Is it truth in scheduling? Is it surgery on time starts? Is it turnaround times, understanding what you need to know about the surgery. And then even more so, how do we link that information to what happens to the patient who we serve down the road, and understanding if those opportunities, if our surgeries produce the right outcomes, or if there's an opportunity to improve upon the surgeries that we're doing, and even comparing different surgeons and different surgery processes. All of that requires capturing good data, and that really has to be the intention. The EMR was put in under the guise of meaningful use, but the meaningful use of the EMR really happens when we're able to pull large amounts of information out, analyze it, gain new knowledge from it, and drive smarter action from it.
You've just described five or six very important points. Let me see if I can tease a few of them apart. You've talked considerably thus far about capturing good data. And one of the challenges that I'm imagining everybody has to overcome at hospitals and systems nationally is accepting the fact that there is a lot of human error, and that there is, to be honest, laziness or oversight or omission in the process. How does an administration begin to tackle that very real-world problem initially?
Well, I mean, the easiest way is to automate the capture of the information. So if you have tools that can capture the information and drive it immediately in, that helps. But the other piece of that is really, you know, I go back to you really need to understand what needs to be captured correctly, and whether it's building a process around that to ensure there's time, resources, and even the will and incentive to capture the pieces of information that are most important. I think I'd even start at a higher level. What are you planning to do about it? And build out the process to make sure that you're able to get data captured that gives you the knowledge of whether you need to do something differently, or whether your processes are at least within the thresholds you're willing to accept.
Now you're asking a question about questions. And I think part of the difficulty is that for many institutions and many robotic programs, the types of questions that need to be asked of the data aren't clearly defined. How does the program attack that problem? Is this something that ends up getting passed on to the governing committee structure? Is this something that comes out of the C-suite? Is this something that comes out of the clinical leadership? Who starts defining these key questions? And along that same line, Chris, you've talked a little bit about patient experience as a kind of a litmus test for some of these questions. These are really two different components of the same question. In other words, defining the right questions that you want to get out of data, and then using patient experience on some level to verify whether and to what degree you're answering those questions. Is that a valid framework?
I think that's the start of a framework, and what you're really hinting at is the triple or even quadruple aim, right? So in healthcare today, you're really focused not only on the outcomes that you're producing and the quality of the processes. And by quality, I don't mean necessarily just the traditional quality metrics, but are you producing products that your customers want, and are you producing them with a process that's predictable? So that does produce quality outcomes, which is, of course, very important. But you want to do that with the patient experience in mind and make sure that they are able to have the optimal customer experience or patient experience. And you need to do it in an efficient and affordable manner, not just to the patient, but to the organization as well. All of that needs to be balanced with that fourth thing that they've added for the quadruple aim, which is the joy in work of the staff, of the medical staff, of the support staff who's producing those results. So when you ask how does that trickle down, it starts with the organizational leadership having a clear aim, a clear strategy, clear objectives, and that then has to trickle down to the departments, including the surgery department, the robotic surgery department, and every other department of the organization to get all of that wood behind a single arrow. It's very difficult to ask those good questions that we were just talking about if you're not exactly sure what you're trying to achieve.
Right, right. Very true. And along that line, when you think about the data itself, one of the assumptions that we see frequently is that people believe that if they have an Epic system or they have a Cerner system, the data that flows out of that EMR is necessarily all they need. And yet, from real-world experience, we know that, in fact, it has to be commingled with many other data sets. What type of perspective would you offer administration thinking about aggregating data to be able to achieve some of the work that you're describing from multiple streams of data? What are all the different sources that they should be looking at when they think about creating an aggregated big data set?
Well, there are lots of different sources. The EMR is by far the most rich and controllable by healthcare in that it's our system, right? So we have the system, we've implemented the system, we should be able to manage quality and content that goes within that system. But that's really talking about healthcare and a lot of the things that affect outcomes, surgical outcomes or any other outcomes that healthcare produces are more about health than healthcare. So it's a much broader view into it's really about what has happened to this person before that brought them to this place in front of us where we're performing surgery on them and understanding all of the different aspects. People talk about the social determinants of health, but it's really about their beliefs and their abilities and what are they able to achieve. Implementing a perioperative surgical home type of model where you really understand whether someone is ready to have that surgical intervention or whether they might need some other care first to get them ready so that you are assuring that you're producing that quadruple aim, a great experience, great outcome, and affordable price. So, yeah, building out those pieces, that is really understanding the entire person. There's also a lot of care that happens outside of our system, and that's really still in the healthcare space, but understanding where people go afterwards. A lot of complications from surgery don't happen during the surgery. They happen days, weeks, or even months later, maybe even years, depending on the type of surgery. And really being able to follow the individual across that journey wherever they're going, which often isn't the health system that performed the initial surgery.
So when you think about adding data from sources other than the EMR, what other sources would be included based on what you've just described, Chris?
Well, partnerships with social programs or other area organizations that provide support to these individuals. And, you know, it could be schools, it could be the social programs. But then on the other side, looking at the insurers where they have the claims data and they're pulling that information through. The claims data is very good for understanding the population. It is not particularly good for taking action on the population because it comes so much later and it takes a long time to process through. And in many cases, it's about what got billed, not what was performed. So it loses a lot of the richness. Another thing that kind of is the next frontier here is the idea of interoperability. And that is that connected EMR type record across all different health systems. So bridging that gap between the health systems. Epic has something called Care Everywhere or Care Anywhere, or they keep changing the name. But that process allows us to see activities that happen at other Epic facilities, and that needs to broaden to include all different EMRs and the information that they have. And then the EMR needs to, those EMRs then need, could grow to contain a lot of that additional information about the patients. As an example, we just implemented a whole process to gather and collect and process social determinants of health data from our patients so that we can help them on the journey. Now, this is intimate information that isn't being given to the care team so much as the risk is being given to the care team so that they can act upon it.
Mm-hmm. Here's a 30,000-foot question based on what you've just said. you live in the realm of data and data management. Most people looking at this as a specialization of the hospital or the hospital system see this as something that just has to be baked into the overall fabric of the of the institution's day-to-day operations. We are in an era of big data. We are also in an era where the challenges of managing this data are really becoming increasingly known. Chris, you have an insider's view on all this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how far along are we really in this big data evolution today?
I think we're scratching the surface at best. Big data, you know, when people talk about that, a lot of people talk about the data in their systems as big data, but big data isn't that. Big data is really understanding what's out there, what's available, and conjuring up a complete story or as good of a story of the individuals, the process, the service, whatever it is you're trying to find. Big data, it's a tricky one because we also live in a world where we are tasked and have a moral obligation to protect the privacy and the security of the individual health record. So it's a very difficult thing to have interoperability and HIPAA. And we need to be very careful and understand how to lock down individual records while still being able to give them that connected experience across their entire health journey. And I don't think the world has figured that out yet. And I'm not sure the world has an appetite to completely give that up today.
And in Europe, we now have GDPR, which is frankly a more stringent methodology of data privacy and security, even than HIPAA. By some reckonings, it's 20% more rigorous even than HIPAA requirements are. So when we start thinking about this even on a global basis, the whole world is coming to terms with this. Would you agree?
I would agree, and I would say I wouldn't necessarily count out. I don't know that you need to go global to be worrying about those same issues.
Point well taken. When you think about what improvements in data interoperability you would like to see happen over the next decade and how this could impact specifically a robotic program or minimally invasive surgical program, what would you say to your colleagues?
Well, first and foremost is, and this is more zero and one-y and technical than I am, but first and foremost is we have to figure out how to pack up information, secure it, lock it down, and being able to transmit it with great confidence that it will not be intercepted and compromised. I think that is first and foremost where the world has to go. And then really understanding how to shoot that around in a way that makes sense. And that really is about understanding who needs to know about an individual and what do they need to know about that individual. So I think it's about building the right kinds of relationships with the care teams and really understanding what optimal care workflows and care processes are, the clinical workflows, so that the right information can get to the right people. And then as far as understanding whether it's the patient's decision to move data around or something else. And you know, I think we will be hard-pressed to push beyond a patient deciding that. So it has to be easy then for them to release their information, and they have to be able to do it in a world where they know it will remain secured.
You're describing the integration between the work that you do in data, data management, data privacy and security, data interoperability, and the clinical realm and the business realm and the patient services realm, the healthcare realm. Putting all these pieces together, that's not an easy task, is it?
No, and it gets worse than that because it's probably not a healthcare record; it's a personal record, which is more than healthcare.
So, on that happy note, what advice do you have to offer to administrators who are grappling with this?
Well, I think making sure you have your house in order, and that's what administrators can control today. Get your house in order, get get as much information as you can on a single EMR or on an interoperable EMR within your domain, and start building that process out. Because if the world gets there and the world has the ability to share information and the underlying structures within our organizations is a mess, we accomplish nothing. But if we can start, if we start by building it within our own walls and being ready for an opportunity to get to more interoperability, that will provide the world a better place to build out that bigger story, to build the partnerships. This is not going to be a flipping of a switch. It never will be. But how do we, if we agree that that's where we want to get to, how do we then turn around and incrementally start building towards that?
We're speaking with Chris Elfner, the Vice President of Accountable Care Strategies at Bell & Health in Green Bay, Wisconsin. If you have any questions for Chris Elfner or would like to share comments with us, we'd love to hear from you at roboticdisclosure@gmail.com. You've been listening to Robotic Disclosure. Support for Robotic Disclosure comes from Kava Robotics International, the leader in robotic program consulting, serving hospitals in the U.S. and around the world. Visit kava-robotics.com. Robotic Disclosure is produced at Northfire Recording Studios in Amherst, Massachusetts. Theme music by the Verve Jazz Ensemble, verve-jazz.com.